podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is not Chris, your regular announcer. This is Gordon. I'm the guest announcer this week. So when you're done listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast, come visit me at the Running to Disney podcast and blog at runtodisney.com, where it's okay to cry after your marathon. I just ran my first marathon, the 2009 Disney Marathon. Come see which race I cry at next. So wherever and whenever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. I did it. I finished the introduction. I'm so happy.
Hey, dog. Hey, buddy, come here. What's with this personal ad? I need to talk to you. What's up with you? What's with this personal ad here I got in the Littleton Independent here? It says, single, black and white male, enjoys long distance runs on the beach, playing frisbee, chasing anything that moves, herding sheep and being scratched on the nether regions, seeks like-minded companion for good-natured romps, 100% fixed and disease-free. What's this here? It says, I'm a one-woman K-9. Now, dude, look, I know I haven't been home much, but I'm training, and you have to cut me some slack. How about we compromise on some play dates? And if I catch you logging into Match.com again on my laptop, I'm cutting your internet privileges. Okay, hello and welcome to episode 59 of the Run, Run, Live podcast. And what is all this madness then? What is all this mindless mincing about on the macadam by you magnificent midpackers? Is it marathon season again? A famous line up here where I live from a journalist a long time ago goes something like, it must be marathon season because the saps are running. And lo, Patriots Day approaches. That one holy Monday in April, when we all drop into Hopkinton and point our toes towards Boston for the day. And today, we will speak with the folks from the Georgia ING Marathon, not the Atlanta ING Marathon, as I have been chastised for saying. Coming up, end of this month, I'm going to run that race. They still have some slots available, so sign up and run with me. You can run the half. And I'm going to run it for fun with the Trilogy Running Boys and also Peter Shankman from Help a Reporter Out Online. Should be fun. If you're going to be there, drop me a line. We'll hook up. I'm staying downtown Saturday night, flying out late Sunday. I know there has to be somebody out there who wants to buy me dinner on Saturday. I know it. And don't forget, Sean and Jason are having a big, huge combination luau barbecue and keg party free to all Georgia ING participants. And there's Kelowna Girl doing the old Twitter thing on me as I speak. So they're having a big luau barbecue keg party free to all Georgia ING participants Sunday after the race at their house. So send an RSVP to Trilogy Running. All right, so what's my training? What's new? This whole running to work thing screwed up my rhythm really, really wild last week. And I ended up only running like four times last week. And I felt like caca on Saturday and Sunday had some sort of virus running around my head. So I skipped Stu's 30K, the venerable Stu's 30K, which is 18 miles. And it's this wonderful hilly course. And it was snowing and it was about 12 degrees out. So right up my alley. I usually run that one. It was their 30th anniversary too. But I was actually in the truck on the way out. And I said, you know what? I can't do this today. And turned around and went home. So it just seemed like a bad idea to run sick in a snowstorm. Like that stop be of the past. But maybe I'm getting smarter as I get older. I went out into the woods and did an easy 10K with the dog instead. And then we got another foot of snow over Sunday and Monday. So I did a little snowshoe and I got some audio. I was going to run to work again this week, but it's getting to the end of the week now and I just can't work the logistics out. You know, if I could figure out a way to beam all my stuff, my laptop and stuff, to work, you know, that's just, there's always something that ends up in the wrong place. So, you know, you just don't realize how much stuff you carry until you try to figure something like this out. But next week should be my final long run for Georgia, and I'm starting to fall in love with the idea of running both ways for the full 35 miles, huh? Yeah, baby, that's what I'm talking about. Run, Forrest, run! And that'll work well, being a couple weeks from Georgia, and then 3 weeks after that until Boston, and it's all maintenance miles. Then I hope to transition to the trail bike and get in shape to do a trail bike halter in the fall. But I'm still without a bike, so somebody needs to give me a bike. Had to do a one-day trip to Chicago this week. Chicago. No running that day, because it's basically a 22-hour day. And I had to drive the old truck to the airport with no heat. And all week I've been driving the old truck with no heat, and it's been like 7 degrees Fahrenheit. It's been like a Tolstoy novel, you know, where you bring heated rocks into the sled with you. So what I've been doing is filling up a couple of soda bottles with hot water and keeping them in the truck with me to keep me warm. And I was actually talking to a guy on Twitter. He was giving me instructions, detailed instructions on how to replace the heater core in my truck. Isn't that cool? Like, just randomly I said, the heat's out in my truck, and somebody started telling me how to fix it. So, Twitter's cool. It's many to many. It's a, like a cloud resource. So, hook your cloud to my cloud by typing at CYKT Russell, and go find me on Facebook, Chris Russell. Love all the new friends I'm getting. What else is there? On with the show!
Hey, Chris, this is Sean from Trilogy Running. Anyway, I am driving in what will probably end up being a whiteout. You believe that? Down here in Georgia? A whiteout? How freaky is that? But I have to go to the store for what my wife refers to as emergency cookies before it gets too bad. Anyway, I just thought that'd be something, you know, I'd be interested in. You know, snow in Atlanta. What the hell? The world's coming to an end. Thinking about maybe going for a little run in it. I think that would be cool. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, folks. This is Chris, and it's Sunday. And I'm out with my friend, Buddy, the Wonder Dog. Hey, Boo. Come here. Good boy. Good boy. And we're down by the pond. I decided not to go out and run Stu's 30K today. Not because I have anything against Stu's 30K. I just have been feeling weird all week. Didn't think it was the best use of my time. Or $40. But it's a good race. And it's real difficult, as 30Ks go. Pretty cold today, you know. Just about 20 degrees Fahrenheit. We got snow flurries. Maybe a half an inch of snow on the ground. Makes it fairly treacherous out here in the woods now that my yak tracks have given up the ghost. Yeah, that happens. So I've already been down hard once. What you got is about a half an inch of 2 or 3 millimeters of snow, fluffy snow, on top of the ice from the melt last week. So you don't know where to step. You can't see the ice. So I got Buddy running out in front of me, and I kind of check his paw prints to see where the ice is. And, you know, the treacherous bit is on where it's got a little bit of a cant to it, and there's really no friction. It just, there's nothing you can do. But, you know, you just run off the trail, try to find some place where you can dig in. I haven't feeling well. I had a headache yesterday morning. Had a headache this morning. Kind of achy this week for some reason. My quad's been real achy. I don't know what's up with that. Having a hard time sleeping. Maybe a little temperature. I don't know. It's almost like a virus thing. Kind of didn't want to go long today. Just didn't want to. You know, sometimes sometimes I just don't want to run. So, anyhow, out running. Listen to the Harvard Business Review Idea Cast, because of course they can't have just a podcast. It's an idea cast. Some good, some bad. You know, I used to get the Harvard Business Review because I thought I was supposed to, being an executive and all. Helped me speak with the other executives, and, you know, 4 out of 5 issues were just this high-level bombastic PhD study stuff that, I guess I'm just too unintelligent to grasp. Every once in a while they have some really good stuff, but most of it was just sort of bombast. So I hadn't been listening to this podcast after I downloaded it over the last couple of weeks, because I just was expecting more of that. But I just listened to a really good one on leadership, a couple on leadership. And I guess that's the whole point of it, is they talk about leadership. The dog's digging a hole. I don't know why he's digging a hole. Must be some sort of animal under there. But this last one, they talked to some colonel who wrote a book about leadership under in extremis, as they say, so in battle conditions, what it takes, and it's a good metaphor for the being a leader or a business leader in today's economic times. And he says, you know, what you got to know is people are going to be really looking at you for leadership right now. When things are bad, people are looking at you for leadership, and basically what they're trying to evaluate is your competence. You know, all the relationship stuff and the friendliness and all that goes out the window in bad times. They're looking for competence, and they're looking for you to be aware of and appreciative of their needs and their self-interest as opposed to just your own self-interest. So very interesting. So some good points on that one. And the other thing is I figured they'd be like an hour and a half long because bombast tends to take up a lot of room, but they're not. They're like 10 minutes long, which is perfect. Perfect little schniblets of Harvard Business School. So anyhow, enough of that. So me and the dog, I think I'm just going to do 10K today because I just feel awful. I just feel a bit under the weather. Metaphorically and realistically, because this is the first little storm that I'm in now. Little fluffy flakes falling on the ground, and then later on tonight, about midnight, we're going to get another 2-3 feet of snow. Then it's going to get cold again, and so there's no sense. You can't leave it. It's not like a spring storm that you can just leave and it'll melt. I'm going to have to go out tomorrow morning at crack of dawn and move 2-3 feet of snow. So there you go. It keeps coming here on the ice planet of Hoth. See ya.
And now for the equipment check.
Yeah, no, folks. I always hear you guys talking, more like obsessing over what to take as nutrition on the run. And I'm here to tell you that you really shouldn't stress out about it. All the sports gels and drinks and all that stuff have the same basic stuff in them. It's a pile of sugar and some sort of electrolytes. You know, some have caffeine. Some alter drinks like Heed have some protein or some amino acids in it. And if you're running for less than an hour, you don't need any of this stuff. As you know, as you get into the marathon distance, you want to refuel the sugars and electrolytes to smooth out that big energy crash around, you know, mile 18. And the longer you're out, the more you'll need. You know, how much, how often? You know, this is something you're going to have to figure out for yourself and what's right for you. And it's through practice. You know, my rule of thumb, which works for me, is every 40 minutes to chuck down the equivalent of a gel. I don't really care what kind. I have my favorites, but it doesn't really matter. Since I've run so much in the ultra training, I can pretty much eat anything and keep it down. You know, the harder you're running, the more likely it's going to make you queasy. That's why some folks do okay in training, but then get an upset stomach in the race because the intensity's different or the temperature's different. If you're running really hard, your body starts to take the blood and the resources away from the GI tract and give it to the muscles, and that'll make you queasy. The only real secret is practice, practice, practice. Try to drink and eat more than you need to in training so that you learn to digest it. And if you get sick, you can always slow down or throw up. Either way, it's not going to kill you. Don't be afraid to try new things in training, but, you know, keep it simple in the races.
And now for our featured interview.
All right, there we go. We're back.
Okay,
so I got Jenny.
Yes.
And Michael.
Yes,
from the Atlanta,
Georgia, Ing. What's the official name?
The ING Georgia Marathon and Half Marathon.
Okay, because I always screw it up. I always say Atlanta instead, which I know is wrong.
That's okay. You know, we just happen to have the race in the largest city in the state, so it's easy to do. And then we hear the Ing race quite a bit, too, but it's actually ING.
Yeah.
So, but we hear that. We hear runners on race day saying, I'm so excited to run the Ing. So,
yep, I do that as well.
And I said, we're just happy to have them running, so.
So how are you doing on registration, guys?
Well, we're a little over 12,000 at this point.
For all the races combined?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are the events?
No, it's not all the races combined now. Let's back up just a moment. There is a Run for Something Better, which has roughly 1,500 children, middle school type children, and then there's the half marathon and the full marathon, and of course the half marathon is the largest event.
Right.
The full marathon is almost completely full with 3,000 people. And
right.
We're just waiting for the half marathon numbers to climb on up, and we'll be full at 1,500. Or, I mean, 15,000. I'm sorry.
Oh, wait a second there.
But I wasn't counting the Run for Something Better into that number. So, and then we have, of course, a 5K and a children's run on the Saturday prior to the event as well.
Okay, so you got all those events, but the big events are the half and the full on the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And as people always ask me, how long is that marathon, right?
Yeah
right.
But, you know, it's funny you get that question. I always hope I don't get that question on race day. You know, I don't mind getting it in advance, but if someone comes to the start and says, and how far is this anyway? I'm a little worried for them. You know, a little worried for them. But, well, this will be our third year at a field of 15,000. So our first year we sold out. Last year we came just short of selling it out, and this year we're on track to sell it out again. So it'll be exciting to have a full field join us on Sunday, March 29th.
That's great. And I was looking at the course. It's a little bit challenging. I had a friend of mine run it last year as her first marathon.
Ooh, great.
And there's some hills in there, right?
Yeah, I'd say there's quite a few hills, but while it is physically challenging, it is emotionally uplifting, so we got that going for us.
We like to call them healthy hills around in our office. We like to call them healthy hills, but the neat thing with our race, and it's not a completely flat course, something like a Chicago, but unlike those other urban marathons, although you're in the city of Atlanta and we run into the city of Decatur, you spend a lot of the time on the course actually in neighborhoods, like in the Driving Miss Daisy neighborhood and historic neighborhoods like Ponce Highlands and Inman Park. So you get a very different experience. And you run through an urban area, you go into a residential area, so it kind of keeps you a little bit distracted from the hills. Not always, but it's not an undoable course, obviously, but it certainly has healthy hills, and we hope people are prepared for them.
Yeah, I was going to say it's pretty much the nature of Atlanta, Georgia. So, you know, they have some faster events, but those are just downhills.
Right.
You're going to have hills one way or another. So,
yeah, frankly, I don't like a really flat course because you tend to get some sort of muscle fatigue if you're just running flat all the time. I like to break things up anyhow. So,
well, I think a lot of people don't realize that, in truth, for that distance, whether it be the half marathon or the full marathon, running an actual flat course would be physically injurious. So you want to avoid that.
Exactly. Yep, you get stuck in a rut.
Mm-hmm.
So walk me through race weekend. What goes on race weekend?
Well, a lot of truck loading and unloading, a lot of consternation.
Besides the fact that you don't get to sleep at all, Michael, what else
goes
on?
Yeah, well, we kick it off, I believe it is, correct me if I'm wrong, Jenny, but that's Friday that our press conference occurs, right?
That is right. We have our pre-race press conference that happens on Friday with our elite and invited athletes and then other athletes that we choose to highlight.
All right. And that pretty much, that's where people will start paying attention, really, I think. And the expo opens, and that's where people will come to enjoy the bargains and the new items that are offered. We have speakers there. Of course, if people are picking up their packets or if they're interested in switching races and all those things, all that's taking place there.
Sure. And where's the expo?
It's Georgia Dome.
And the Georgia Dome, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's, and go ahead.
The health and fitness expos are, again, our third year of doing this. Last year we moved it into the Georgia Dome because of the tornado that happened the week before, and it just turned out, I mean, from stroke of good luck, to be a really good venue. So it'll be there again, and it's right in the middle of downtown. It's easily accessible. It's right next to CNN Center, right next to the start, finish, and Centennial Olympic Park. And so people can come hear the speakers, and they can pick up their packet, and they can, go find out the latest deals and see some of the latest products that are out there as well. It's also the expo. To me, our expo is a good idea for people that are thinking about running a race, because we have experts on hand, and you can see the gear, and you can talk to people that have run the distance and get a lot of really good free tips. So even if you're not in the Georgia area, a lot of times when I talk to people that are just beginning running online, offline, I encourage them to go to some type of a health and fitness expo associated with a large race just to go get the free tips.
Yeah, and there's typically a lot of people there who are involved in the sport, like you said, famous and near-famous people selling books and giving talks and that sort of thing. And it's a good place to get a feel for the local running community.
I always like to go to expos just because that's where the excitement starts to mount for the race. You know, I get in that atmosphere, I really get pumped up. So, you know, if there's no other reason, that's a pretty good reason.
Yeah, I'll tell you a story, Michael. When my kids were littler, they used to like to go. Now they're teenagers, so they don't want to be seen with me. But when they were littler, they used to go into the expo with me because they knew there'd be free food there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, there's a lot of free things, actually. And there's one thing that ING is having a runner's lounge, and they're bringing back one of the most popular items that they give away, which is a little thing that you put around your wrist that gives you your pace per mile.
Right, sure, pace charts. Yep.
Yeah. And, that's a hit with all runners who run distances because, then you know if you're on pace or not at every mile, and you feel, for whatever reason, you feel comfortable about your running.
Well, and you don't have to do math in the middle of the race.
Yeah.
That's why I like I don't have to do the math. You know, I can just look at the wristband and know if I'm on pace or not. So.
Yeah. If you're running 10-minute miles, it's easy. But if you're trying to run a 7:37 pace, it gets gnarly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then we have the Friday and Saturday, we have the Health and Fitness Expo free and open to the public there at the Georgia Dome. Saturday, and I'll let Michael tell a little bit more of the details, but we have two really exciting races. One of them is new this year, and one of them we expanded. The first is our Publix Kids Fun Run, which I think last year we had close to 1,000 kids. This year we're going to cap it at 1,000. And it's for kids ages 10 and younger, and they'll come down to the area around Grant Park, close to Cyclorama and the Atlanta Zoo. Depending on their age group, they'll do a number of laps, and it's really great. We have mascots there, arts and crafts, but it's great to get kids a chance to wear a bib and get a medal and get a T-shirt, get to experience, you know, kind of what mom and dad or their aunt or uncle or someone like that gets to experience. So we have that race. And then, Michael, do you want to share about our new Publix Run Wild 5K?
Yeah. Well, the Run Wild 5K meanders quite a bit through Grant Park, gets on the street briefly, but mostly it's inside the park, and which is, for those who might not know, it's a beautiful location, you know, quite a nice place to run. And the course is not really all that hilly comparatively to the other event, but I think it's a great chance for people to, you know, involve their kids in a fun event and get a little exercise themselves. And it's also a good chance to warm up for the next day's event.
That's cool. Well, talk to me about race morning. How do things play out on race morning? Like the where and the how and the what, Michael?
The morning will start probably, for some, it started the day before, but essentially at 3 a.m. we will be setting up things for the children's race as well as the main event. We just start assessing what goes where and making sure all that is in place.
Sure.
While the runners are gathering. And the runners will, you know, I'm sure as an inveterate runner, you know that there are those who start coming long before the race. And so...
People get really nervous and they can't sleep, so they get onto the starting line like 4 hours early.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many people, I think I tend to get down there at between 4:30 and 5 and... usually, you know, starting with the news crews kind of a thing. And there are people, you know, with their gear bags dropped off sitting at the start line.
Yeah, it's kind of a big waste of energy. You know, if you're going to do that, you should bring a book or a newspaper or a pillow with you.
Bring a pillow.
Because standing around acting nervous for 4 hours probably isn't a good use of your energy on race morning.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. Well, you know, back when I was working with the Atlanta Track Club and the Peachtree Road Race, we had a schedule of putting up our start line banner at 3 a.m. And, you know, of course, we'd have police cars blocking the street, and we'd have the race committee people out there, you know, engineering this thing. And lo and behold, runners would show up and walk there to, and they would say, okay, is this where the banner goes? Oh, this is my spot. And you're saying, well, you know, you're 4 hours early, so.
Yeah, but they're first in line.
Yeah. Well, I always think, you know, chances are you're going to have to go to the Port-a-John before the race starts.
I'll be impressed if they don't have to. But
yeah.
Do you guys do corrals, or how do you sort people out at the start with?
Yeah, we do corrals, and it's by the numbers, and we have about seven.
Okay, so are you seeding people by pace somehow? Did I answer a pace question on the application?
Well, yes, you did. And or we hope you did. And okay. We sort people according to that, but the ones with documented times go up front. And then the ones with speculated times are seated according to a bit of guesswork, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
But
I think on the questionnaire you get asked for your estimated finish time or most recent race finish time. And so that's how you get it determines which corral you're going to be in. And, of course, our elites are in that first corral. But for the non-experienced runner, it's extremely helpful because then you don't get caught up in a crush of people, you know, passing you all, you know, 2 minutes faster per mile. You really get in a place that's more suited to your running speed.
Yeah, and you tend to, you get out faster. Everybody gets out faster if they're in the right place.
Well, in a case like a marathon or a half marathon, the speed at which you take off in the first mile is fairly irrelevant. I mean, you know, you've got plenty of time to make up any lost time at the start, and most people actually start off far too fast.
Yeah, and it's a question of energy, you know, use, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you see people trying to cut around people and weaving and bobbing and running through the woods to get around people, burning a lot of energy. And like you said, you know, if you pass the clock at the first mile and it says, you know, I don't know, 12 minutes, and you plan on running 8 minutes a mile, the new runners will freak out. But you got a lot of time to make that up, and typically you're wearing a chip anyhow, so it doesn't make any difference.
Right.
Right, and this year, instead of having the chip, we're actually going to have the D tag, which is...
Yeah, I love those things.
Yeah,
they're cool.
It's a lot of fun. I think a lot of races are moving towards it, and you get instructions on how to put it on, and it's basically a teeny tiny chip embedded in a, for lack of a better phrase, what's a wristband that you put on your shoe that just goes in your laces. And we always tell people to make sure you leave it looped up, like that there's an arc in it, because if you pull it flat, you can actually break the chip, and that can, of course, wreck some of your time because the mats won't be able to read it. But we have mats out. That's part of that 3 a.m. you know, start, is that Michael and his race ops crew are getting down the timing mats, putting up the finish, you know, so that you're going to get, you know, different times along the course. So, and Michael can talk to you about, I mean, Michael, you can talk about what time we're starting and when those corrals actually get across the finish line and what we expect, you know, if someone's singing the national anthem, that type of a thing.
Right. There will be the singing of the national anthem. We have a local celebrity doing that, singer from one of the churches. And then we have the race. Wheelers will start just before 7 o'clock, about 6:55, I think. And then the runners will start at 7:04. And it will take probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 minutes to 20 minutes for the last person to cross the starting line. But there will just be a gap in the corrals, and then the restraining ropes will be dropped, and everybody will start pretty much at the same time.
Right.
So, you know, there'll just be the delay in distance to get the last people across the line, and really a lot of that has to do with the fact that many of them are walkers. But we will, one of the most important things about that is that we will have a cutoff time based on a 7-hour marathon pace. That if you're planning on doing the marathon, and if you don't make it to the half split within the prescribed pace time, then you will not be allowed to go on to the marathon course.
Right.
But you will be timed in accordance with the fact that you're running a half marathon. So you will be credited with a half marathon time.
And in terms of the water stuff, so you guys got water and some sort of drinky stuff every...
Yeah,
I don't know.
We got the drinky stuff. What we'll have is Gatorade and water at 17 places along the course.
Okay.
We get the question of, we're in Coca-Cola's hometown, how could we possibly not have Powerade? And the point to that is, this year we were selected, our marathon is actually the Roadrunners Clubs of America Southeast Region Marathon Championship. And so...
Oh, cool.
Because we have that great designation, which means potentially more award winners. If you're just an amateur regular runner and you place within your age group within the marathon, you actually qualify for an RRCA award. But because of that distinction, because of that award, we are required to carry Gatorade.
Yeah, my little regional 10K that I'm a race director for up here, we were the RRCA New England 10K championship.
Oh,
a couple
great
years.
Oh, congrats.
And the thing people got to remember, though, if you want to qualify for any of those prizes, you got to be a member of the RRCA in good standing. So if you think you're going to win something, fill out your form.
Yeah. Join up with your local club now before you show up.
The RRCA runners, you know, they tend to give you a good boost for your race. They'll give you a couple hundred extra runners. But they also are kind of high-maintenance people, right?
Yeah.
They want what they want.
Well,
right.
We're happy to be part of that. You know, it's nice to be part of that designation, because for folks that are in RRCA and that are part of a running club, it's just great that they choose and select different races around the country. And, like, your race up in New England was chosen. I mean, a lot of times you get to see very different races that you otherwise maybe not wouldn't have considered.
Yeah, it's there's a little bit more overhead to it. So let's talk a little bit about the finish. I'm across the finish line. Nobody has to take my chip because the chip is a throwaway chip now, right?
Right.
And so you get your you get your shiny blanket and your medal, and what kind of swag are you going to lay on us?
You'll get a goodie bag, and I'm sworn to secrecy on the contents, but you'll get a goodie bag, and as you you get your shiny blanket. That's a souvenir quality blanket, by the way, that has the logo, the race logo on it, which makes them infinitely more expensive. But anyway, after you get your water and food, of course you'll stop into gear check and get your stuff. There will be, I think we're at 6 bands now. So bands will be playing from the moment people arrive to the time that they decide to depart, and there will be a huge variety of bands. We've got, everything, jazz and solo blues artist and bluegrass and a drum group and so on. So we've got a lot of entertainment down there. And we've
been in the park?
Yeah. And we're going to, I'm spending far too much money on decorating the area, too. So we're going to have lots of balloons and attractive-looking items around there to make it festive. But, it should be quite a nice venue for everybody. So given the fact that we're destined at this point to have a pretty day, people might want to hang around a little while.
And, Chris, one of the exciting thing about the finish, and most people around the country can recognize Centennial Olympic Park. It was main park, of course, for the city's hosting of the 1996 Summer Olympic Games. And so it's a great facility. There's, a lot of grassy space for you to meet up with your friends. But when you cross that finish line and you hear the beep of your chip going across, and you get your medal and you get your blanket, just in case your body feels cool. In addition to just being right there among there's a very famous area called the Fountains. You're going to be right there by the Fountains. They won't be on, but
yes, they will.
Oh, they will be on.
Yes, we decided to. I just couldn't bear to give up the fountains, so we've rearranged the area so that we could have the fountains on, because I think that really adds a nice touch to the venue.
That's going to be great. So, Chris, you can go run around in our version of sprinklers, when you're done with the race.
Yeah.
We have, there's going to be plenty of food in addition to your bagels and your bananas, and there'll be water and Gatorade. Publix is actually providing a family meetup area in the park. And so, as when you finish a race, you want to meet up with your friends, where can you say, let's meet there? Well, we're actually going to have Publix has a family meetup area where you can say, let's meet at the corner of, this tent and that tent. So it'll be
right.
A little bit easier. And this year, I'm hoping, Mike and I are discussing this, but we're hoping to have a tweet-up tent for folks that are runners that are also on Twitter, so that they can perhaps meet up with some different folks that are from that social media community. We will have someone actually tweeting during the race this year. We've had one runner who reached out to me who said, I'm actually going to tweet the race. They're going to carry their, BlackBerry or cell phone, I'm not sure which, their mobile, and they're actually going to tweet their experience, during the... They walk the water stops, so they're going to tweet each mile, which will be kind of interesting and fun to see their experience through.
Yeah. Once I get going in a marathon, it's kind of hard for me to be messing around with any of that stuff,
Yeah.
Well, sounds like you're a real runner instead of an entertainment runner.
Yeah, I have been. I'm trying to teach myself otherwise, but I run for joy now.
There you go.
Well, I used to be, of course, learning to adapt with the times has changed me a bit, but I used to be deeply resentful of anybody who needed all that gizmo stuff to run a race. I thought, geez, you must not like running if you don't want to just run and enjoy the run.
Yep.
But I've, since squelched my curmudgeonly ways and accepted the world as it is.
Well, some people like to have a heart rate monitor. They like to see their average. Some people like the GPS.
But you know what, Jenny? If you listen to your body, you can know all that stuff, and you can know it a lot better than what the device is telling you.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. That's exactly right. And they have actually done real physiological studies on the matter and come up with the same conclusion.
Yeah, I can tell you exactly when I'm going anaerobic and all that stuff. I can tell you exactly when I'm hitting the wall,
When do you typically hit the wall, Chris? How's the range for you? Yeah.
Oh, for a marathon?
Yeah.
I'm a lot better at nutrition, and I don't run as hard as I used to. But I used to hit the wall, you know, at same place everybody else. Yeah, the last 6 miles was a race.
And when you train, how far up do you run when you train?
I used to run full marathon distance, and I get down. No, anything around the 20-mile mark is okay. You know, I don't need to really qualify anymore because I'm pretty old. So,
well, I have a great line about that that I talked to an elite running coach, one of the more famous ones back in the old days, Arthur Lydiard. I'm sure nobody here is old
enough. Yeah, from New Zealand.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, he came down for a talk at one of the Atlanta Track Club banquet. I talked to him about the long distance thing, and he said, well, he had moderated some of his views about running longer and longer distances, and I said, well, what about for a marathon? And he said, well, 20 miles is plenty for your longest training run. And I said, but don't you need to experience what it feels like after 20 miles? And he said, trust me, you don't want to know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I started doing ultras last year, and you know, people say, what's on the other side of the wall? More wall. And just the last couple of weeks, what I started doing is running to work. I live 17 and a half miles from my job, so.
Oh, my God.
Kind of fun.
Wow.
So,
well, that could sure, you know, it's hard enough for me to go to work. I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, so I look forward to seeing you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good luck on the race, and be sure and say hello before you start.
Yeah, we'll check in. I'll be one of those old guys.
Me too.
And Chris, just, you know, just so your listeners will know, they can get more information, including registration, and on all of the weekend events on our race website, which is www.inggeorgiamarathon.com.
Yep, great. All right, guys.
All right, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
see ya.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
So, I get this great email from a friend of the show. It raised some concerns. I usually don't read emails, but this one I wanted to address. And I'll change the name so as not to get this person in trouble. So let's just say his name is Shauna from the Triple Running Podcast. And he writes, "Dear Chris, I've got a terrible problem with my little brother. And for this, we'll just call him Mason. I started my own podcast, but now he's horning in on it. And he's really getting to be a pain in the buttocks. Plus, he's a really slow runner, and I hate having to wait for him. So my question is, how can I tell this SOB to get the heck out of my podcast without hurting his feelings or causing trouble in the family?" Well, Shauna, I would suggest that you just confront Mason with your feelings. Lay it on the line. But make sure you all do it when you're on a steep hill so you can outrun him if he gets too angry. All right? So good luck with that.
Here's today's quick tips.
Okay, folks, I've got some more tips here on running in traffic. I have had the luxury to grow up riding a motorcycle, so I assume that most cars are trying to kill me most of the time. And, you know, you got to remember, just because you have the right of way or in a crosswalk doesn't mean they're going to see you. And just because they have a red light or a stop sign doesn't mean you should step out into the road. You know, you got to look directly at the driver of the car and make eye contact. Wait for some sort of sign of recognition before you step out. And the passenger waving you on doesn't count. You know, direct the drivers. Use your hands. Show them which way you're heading, but, you know, pointing and gestures. If they stop or wave you on, make sure to smile, give them a thumbs up or an okay sign, and mouth thank you at them. You know, be a good citizen. Don't tangle with the cars because they'll win. Don't ever make any assumptions that could cost you your life. I have been hit by a car once, not badly, but I made the assumption that this lady would not pull out because there was a school bus stopped with the flashers on. She got a really big surprise when I was up on her hood with my ugly, hairy face looking in the windshield at her. So be careful out there. Okay, it's Friday night, and here I am, sitting in my office, talking to you. With any luck, I'll be posting a Run to Work episode again next week. That's cool. And I'm going to try to figure out how to put a billboard for my road race, the Groton Road Race, on the back of my sweater to advertise my race to all the commuters. And we're still looking for some sponsors, so shoot me an email at cyktrussell@yahoo.com if you're interested in reaching our 3,000 direct participants. But definitely come up to run. Come and give me a call. This weekend is my 24th wedding anniversary, so my long-suffering bride, She needs your condolences. The Joneses never make a scene about running to work, but her husband is always acting like a goofball. Since I'm running my long runs during the week, that leaves my calendar open and maybe do some short races, some 5 miles or 10Ks on the weekends. You know, I'm open to suggestions. You guys got a race you want, I'll come down and run. You are all outstanding citizens of Mid-Pack Nation, and I hope you're having as much fun listening to the podcast as Buddy and I have making it. So feel free to offer up suggestions, and also you can read stuff, you know, read my intro, read my bumpers. I'll put it in the show, and I'll see you out there. The music today is by a band called, well, it's a person. It's called Hound Dog Taylor, and it's pretty good. It's some blues here, and this is so blue that it's almost ultraviolet, and it's called Gonna Send You Back to Georgia.
Okay, babe, look out, honey. Let's go to town talk. Gonna send you back to Georgia. Your honey, that's where you belong. I'm gonna send you back to Georgia. Your honey, that's where you belong. Hang around here, baby, and break up my heart. Yeah, I swear my mama told me, your daddy too. Soon she gets your wife to want her that the way she's gonna do. I'm gonna send you back to Georgia. Honey, that's where you belong. Hang around here, baby, and break up my habit. Get your watch, you want her back. The way she's gonna do, I'm gonna send you back to Georgia. Honey, that's where you belong. Hang around here, baby, and break up my head. Give me back what I bought you, envy. On your merry way, I'm gone. Send you back to Georgia. Now, honey, that's where you belong. Hang around him, baby, and break up my habit home.
Thanks for listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.